This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Conservative. What I don't like about Washington is they're very nice to your face, and then they take a shiv or a machete and they stab it in your back. I'm a Wall Street guy, and I'm more of a front stabbing person, and I'd rather tell people directly how I feel about them.
Nobody talk about politics, like, don't say anything, you know.
A marriage that's been through it all.
She has filed for divorce over his naked political ambition.
These are the views of a couple in love, a couple with children, a couple with differing opinions and perspectives. A couple that survive.
He's kind of like an impetuous guy. In many ways, that's great. In some ways, it's tough when you're married.
What leads them back to each other? Communication, conversation, and a realistic outlook on the world we live in. Your hosts, Anthony and Deirdre Scaramucci. This is Mooch and the Missus.
Okay, so we have some very special guests on Mooch and the Missus here. It's actually a very personal podcast. I don't know if that's interesting to you guys or not, but we're going to introduce you to our friends Alonzo and Rebecca Cahoon, who have helped us through our rough patch last year while Anthony and I were at war.
She should have been the communications director of the White House. So basically, Deirdre was trying to divorce my ass. Justifiably, I'm not saying that. We were really fighting about a lot of different things, but we really loved each other. I get blown from the White House. I'm like, okay, I really want to figure out a way to piece my life back together. My life is going in the wrong direction. I told Alonzo it was like being George Bailey on the bridge where the car crashes, you bump your head, and you need a guardian angel. You need somebody to help you out. You're in this alternative universe, you know, It's a Wonderful Life. Everything's going wrong. You're like, my God, if I could just get my life back. And so we met you through the Tony Robbins people. And Tony's actually sort of weirdly one of my friends. I mean, I'm not going to say we're super, super close, but I wrote the introduction of his last book. Mm-hmm. He was on my show, Wall Street Week, when I was hosting it. And I called Alonzo from a train station in Milan as I was heading for Bologna to visit my daughter. And I said, I'm in a lot of trouble here. My wife and I love each other. We were on the verge of divorce. I need help in repairing it. So what the Cahoons do is life coaching, among other things. I'll let you guys describe it, but go ahead, Alonzo or Rebecca.
Well, whoever wants to
go
start,
right ahead,
kick it off. Go ahead.
Well, it was a great opportunity to get to meet Anthony and to really get to see a different side of the world that is not exposed a lot of times. You know, everybody likes to see the great stuff, but nobody really likes to know about the stuff that's not so great. And so meeting somebody that's willing to be completely open and completely honest and raw is very rare, and that's definitely what Anthony is and has continued to be through the relationship that we've built with him. And our relationship program, which Anthony did, and he did an outstanding job at, was just showing up and asking yourself, you know, who would I need to be to have the amazing woman that I want in my life? And Anthony took that very seriously, and he took it to heart, and he did the steps that it took, and he practiced the things on himself. And all the while he was taking those things, he was getting kicked in the nuts on a regular basis.
By me?
Not just by you, but the world in general. I mean,
Alonzo had to talk me off the ledge a few times. Like, I would hop on there FaceTime, like, I'm going to kill this MF, you know? And he would say, okay, well, stop living in the past, you know, think about everything that's going on today. And he would sort of bring me back to reality and the moment. And it helped us a lot. It probably helped you, saved you from a few swift kicks to the crotch.
Well, as Governor Christie pointed out on our podcast, he said castration is permanent. We just got to be careful with that. We don't want to go full castration because she's got a lot of Italian. Castration is permanent.
That would hurt you and it would hurt me as well. Right. So not doing that. But anyway, not to cut you off.
No,
keep on going.
That's part of the dynamics of both you amazing people is that, you know, people love passion. And then they
We have plenty. We have chock full.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's what we love.
Maybe too much.
We have no shortage of passion. Yeah. Okay, but it comes with high blood pressure.
But everybody wants to remove it where you don't want it. And the thing is, if you removed it, you'd lose it on the other side.
Well, that's the thing. Like, we run so hot. There's this Pink song. She always says, like, we burn so bright, we burned out, like that. That's us. Like, we are.
I don't want to
do that. No. Well, we're not doing that, but we run so hot that sometimes you have to temper it because it's hard to maintain that level of passion and forever. So sometimes you have to, like, take a minute, breathe, because it's great on the positive side, but when it gets to a disagreement or something, it's not great. Not great. You know? Well, so, yeah, you have to learn how to have it in your life, but not on the. On the flip side, where it becomes a negative, you know?
Right. Well, it's just appreciating that, you know, passion is just that. It's just energy. And so, you know, when you want to, use it on the positive side. But then when you see it on the negative, don't make us wrong or don't make your spouse or whoever wrong for having it. Just recognizing it's an emotion. You love that in your partner. That's what gets stuff done, right? But then when it comes to disagreements, it is tapering it back, recognizing this is not the place that we want that passion. Mm-hmm. Let's not use it in this,
redirect,
in this moment.
Redirect it.
Right. Yeah. In this moment, let's use a different skill.
So what is, like, the number one thing people come to you and say, we need help as a couple with? Because I always try to think, like, where did our relationship go wrong? Like, what was this, the origination, or where did it stem from? And I think ours was, I think a lot of people would say this, a lack of communication and understanding and some empathy for what the other person was going through or living through at the time. And so you just wound up going like this, you know, two different directions. So what's, like, the number one thing people come to you and say, can you help me? I'm in a bad place with my spouse or whatever it is.
Well, the biggest thing that you typically hear is I need help. My husband's got a problem, or I need help. My wife's
like
got
him
a problem.
On the phone right now. And, texting.
And what it really boils down to, if we were really just to be honest, is what happens is we enter these magnificent relationships, and then we have one. And the thing that takes place is called neglect.
Mm-hmm.
And we neglect one another. If we look at what we're really great at and how much.
Why, Alonzo? Tell the human behavior.
Well, people get complacent.
Get complacent, right? Why?
Take things for granted.
What creates the complacency?
Well, there's the law of familiarity that kicks in a lot of times. You know, you're in proximity to someone and you assume that they know. Also, it's that thought. I have a relationship, so I no longer have to work at it because I have one. But how would that work in your field of expertise?
In your business.
Yeah. You'd fail, like, in 2 days.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so it's that we stop giving the relationship attention. And, you know, it's very simple. You know, if we were to ask you in your business deals, how much patience do you give to the person that you're working with? And a typical answer would be, you know, you're very patient. But then you turn that question around and say, okay, so when you walk in and you look at your beautiful wife and you say, how patient are you? Sometimes that can be a real big gut check.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're two lucky guys because we do have beautiful wives. I mean, you got to be honest.
Well,
about
on
that,
the inside.
Right? Yeah, why not too? On the inside too.
That's.
Anyway, I'm getting, like, me too'd by my wife right now. I'm calling my wife hot. She's like, well, I'm hot on the inside. Okay, I'm gonna Joe Biden you in a minute here. Okay, I'm gonna start grabbing pieces of you that I'm not supposed to.
I'm just.
To.
saying. Jesus. Anyway.
Your hair smells great from here, baby.
Thanks. Rebecca,
tell us, though, you're also involved. I mean, you yes. get your program. You know, what I love about you guys, you've had some ups and downs as well. And
sure.
so you're able to totally relate to people, and you're not sitting there like, best thing I can say about Alonzo, we don't know each other as well, but I'm sure that you're in the same zip code. There's no sanctimony. He doesn't turn to me and judge me and mistakes that I've made or anything like that. He's like, okay, listen, we all have a pluses and minuses in our lives, and we're all prone to doing things that we regret or wish we could do better. And that's what makes the program so successful. That's my opinion. But go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah. In as far as like my part or...
Yeah, tell us.
You know, I think, you know, going back to Deirdre's question, you know, the thing that I think that I bring and help, you know, because Alonzo typically works with the men and I'll typically work with the women, because when you were talking about misunderstanding, I think that it's true that that's where a lot of the gap is understanding the different ways between, you know, what inspires and motivates men and how they speak and how they think. It's, you know, in this world where we live, there's so much focus on how we're all the same, you know, back to our biological core, we think and we look at different things. We had the conversation earlier about how there's just different aspirations or not aspirations. That's not the word.
Or interests
for,
or different proclivities.
Interests.
Right.
Correct. Right. And so.
Yeah, guys don't change near as much when they have children as women do.
That's, right? That's true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely. And so
sometimes I used to look at him and be like, hello, like we have a person that's in there with a diaper and he's like really needy. And Anthony was like, but it's also because it was his fourth child, but men just don't. They're more like, I got to go out and like provide for
Correct.
This child. You know, it's true. People can knock that all they want and
right.
say that we're doing, you know, like gender role and it's BS. But it's true. He was like, okay, I got to get serious. I'm about to have four kids or then five kids and I got to like go slay the beast.
Right.
And I'm like, oh, you know, I got to coddle this baby and I got to hold this baby and make sure they're perfect and nothing goes wrong with them.
Right.
And it's true.
I
believe that is true. People would argue with me, but.
No, I think it is true. And we see a lot of it in our relationships. So I'll use an example. One of the things that we see quite often is that dynamic when a couple comes together and they're just totally committed and engaged with one another, and then they decide to have a family. Now, we're not knocking families. We love families. But one of the dynamics that changes is then once the babies are born, a woman's focus tends to go to the kids. That's not wrong. That's by nature, right? But what happens to the husband in that scenario? Then all of a sudden he's just saying, suddenly I'm not the attention anymore. So they go. And
I'm not even on the list. I might make it right below toilet paper.
That's what my husband
used
to say.
Paper. I mean, they need toilet paper.
But that's what he used to say to me. And back in those days when I wasn't listening, you know, he would say, I feel like I'm way down here. And, you know, I justified it because I said, well, my attention's supposed to be with the babies. But that's just a dynamic that goes on. And so then they typically, you know, what we see is they'll dive themselves into work. And then what happens? She doesn't feel as important. Because now he's engaged with what he's doing. And so there's just this dynamic that Alonzo was talking about with just it's neglect, you know, oftentimes.
See, this is where this quad that we have going on here is interesting because fortunately, we both get to work with our spouses. And I think that it helps. So before we had kids, we worked together. And so every day for 12 hours, we knew what the other person was doing, not to be like stalkerazzi. I'm saying we just understood the pressures and the challenges of the day and of the business that we were in together. So I couldn't ever be mad at him because I already knew what he was going through and he knew what I was going through. So we were in it together.
Right.
But, you know, once I started with our children and I'm home, it's different. It's a different vibe. But now that, you know, we have them and we went through what we went through, we decided that it's good to, what I think a lot of women struggle with is they have this guilt, like they need to only focus on the children so they neglect the husband or whoever it is. But I think for me, it works that like a few days a week, we do this podcast, I go into the city, we have dinners together or we'll travel. Like we'll take weekends for just the two of us that isn't work related or it is and we like spin some fun into it. So we spend time to be together as yes. a couple and a family and as business partners. And I feel like it really helps us because we're kind of like meshing all of those things. And so you have a better understanding of what the person is going through daily.
Right.
And that's the thing. When you don't consider the other person's pressures or stresses, like he probably thinks when I'm home with them, it's like fun and we're making cookies and stuff. But, you know, they're like throwing stuff at me and saying I'm the worst mom and they hate me and or whatever it is that day. And it's not that easy, you know? Right. So when you have an understanding of the person's daily goings on, it's better. So I would encourage, if someone asked me, I would encourage people to try to do something with their spouse.
Absolutely.
That is good for both of them, where they spend time and they have like a common interest. You have to have a common interest.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code SHAVE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code SHAVE. Enjoy!
StreetEasy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. but that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
If you're thinking about GLP-1s for weight loss, listen up. You must make sure you're maintaining your muscle mass while you're losing weight. Otherwise, you can slow your metabolism and regain the weight. Almacid, a natural superfood protein shake, has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. It optimizes and supercharges your metabolism so you can lose weight easily. Use Almacid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almacid.com. That's almased.com.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, we take that just one step further as well, is that to remember, you're more than a mom. You're more than a wife. You're more than a business partner. You happen to be a human being. Mm-hmm. And so for me and Rebecca, we call each other by name during specific times because it's important to remember to keep those sides alive.
That's so interesting. Like, so you don't say like babe or hunt, you say like Rebecca.
Yeah, because right. I want to remember that. The person that I fell in love with,
when I say Deirdre.
Well, because then I know you're mad at me. You know, it's like your parents, when they say your full name, you know you're in trouble. When he says Deirdre, I'm like, oh, God. Oh, well, God. It's just the meaning.
It's got to be the meaning's got to be behind it. But just have to remember that, you know, you are much more than a mother. You are much more than a wife. And you are more than a business partner. There's some playful sides of you that you put away that you don't utilize.
It's like masks. Yeah. You wear different masks.
Yes.
You know,
different roles. Yeah. So when you get that out.
Can we talk about sex at some point? I'm just here. There's one on, you know.
Well, that is a huge part of a relationship because if you're not having sex, you're just friends.
And that's where that side of most people is.
Alonzo and I have thought about sex in the last 15 minutes, 456 times each.
What is he, slacking?
Yeah, I'm slacking.
Come on, pick up the pace.
Alonzo's at 650. I'm at like 325 because I didn't
average
sleep last
of 456.
Night.
Average of 456.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Had you danced a little more last night, you know.
Oh, my.
Yeah, maybe. I was dancing. I need two hip surgeries on Monday, but it's fine. but I mean, I'm just, I know I'm interrupting, but I just think that like the other thing that you taught me, mm-hmm. that I knew intuitively, but like you really emphasized to me, is that, you know, you love your wife and you're both sexual and you have to be sexual with each other in a way where people
all the
know
Christian
that they,
conservative just tuned
yeah,
out of
that
our
they
podcast.
Know they know they, that you love each other. Mm-hmm. Well, look, I mean, I don't know, with monogamous sex, that's supposedly good for Christian conservatives, mm-hmm. I would think. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So I don't understand why we have
it shouldn't be so taboo.
We've made it taboo. Mm-hmm. We've made it taboo to talk about it. We've made it taboo to apparently do it. But the cool thing is I, you know, I probably shouldn't even say this, but I love having sex with my wife. I mean, she's.
That's a good thing.
That makes me so happy.
No, but I'm just saying that I think it's important. One of the elements of your program, looking yes. over at Alonzo and Rebecca right now, is that you make people more comfortable with who they actually really are. Okay. And
well,
so, by
you.
The way, I'm going to recommend a book to you, which I think you would really like, because when I was reading the book, I was thinking of you.
Okay.
Now talking to Alonzo. And recommend, obviously, everybody out there is Robert Greene's book on the laws of human nature. So he's written a book on the laws of subduction, laws of power. But his most recent book is on the laws of human nature. And what he's trying to describe in the book is that, look, you know, you have feminine parts of your personality if you're a man. Mm-hmm. I obviously do. Look at my skin product addiction. and then you have masculine aspects, and we mm-hmm. both do. You have to be Great. Comfortable with both. But when I was reading it, Alonzo, I was thinking about your program, and because your message to me, which really did resonate with me, be comfortable with being yourself, but also it's okay to communicate with your wife what that is, your frailties, things you're worrying about, things you love, and be, you know, and don't allow that passion. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm not supposed to be passionate in this moment. Let me see if I can cut it back.
All right, absolutely.
So that's enough of me talking about sex. Rebecca, what do you think about sex? Go ahead.
That well, wasn't about sex.
That no,
was
about... That would make you guys laugh.
Oh, my goodness. I don't know that you want me to start,
honestly.
You guys
honestly, have been at the because... SALT conference a couple of days. I play for laughs, okay? Come on. So,
I think Alonzo knew
for
that.
For those of you that cannot see us, Rebecca is about as red as the tablecloth right now.
No, that's just a reflection.
It's looking good, though.
Don't worry.
It's good,
no,
looking good. That is not a spray tan like Deirdre and I have on. That is like rouge.
Well, one of the things, you know, speaking about sex, since we're here and we're talking about it, that I wish more women understood is just the biological differences between men and women. And it's funny, you know, he brings it up and says, hey, are we going to talk about this? Because, you know, science proves that, you know, men think about sex, you know, a lot more, right?
We're already up to 1,000 each right now. Okay. A couple more minutes have gone by.
They just
we're thinking,
slapped five. Okay. Right. So you got
but the truth is biologically, they're hardwired that way. And I think that men kind of get a bad rap because it's not, you know, getting mad at a man for thinking about sex is kind of like getting mad at a woman for having a period. It's just the way that they're built. And so.
See, but I love the fact that they think about it. I just only want it to be related to me.
Well, right?
Like, that's all I ask. I just don't want, like, I think women, and I could be wrong, and I'm overgeneralizing, but women think about it pertaining to one specific person.
Correct.
Like, people always ask me, who do you love in Hollywood? And I'm like, I don't know. Like, I don't care.
Channing Scrogger.
No. Maybe
She calls him Channing Tatum, but I have to defile his name because I'm slightly jealous.
No, after I saw A Star Is Born, maybe Bradley Cooper. Okay. But I never think
come up
about
with a bad
that.
Nickname for him now.
Okay, keep thinking
Channing
about Cooper. Yeah, Bradley Cooper.
Yeah.
Poop shooter. Okay, so.
Nobody's safe.
Off track. Okay, here I am. So
Bradley Diarrhea Pooper.
I think. Okay anyway, so all I think is what I'm thinking about women, because I can, as I relate it to myself, I love that men think about sex. I just think that it would be great if they could like narrow it down to one person.
Well,
you
and,
know,
and I think that they do, you know, I think that especially because it's not that simple. It's not just like we're not just, you know, biological animals versus the human spirit. We're both. And so, you know, facts find that men are actually a lot more loyal than women are. When they find the woman that they love and all of their needs are being met. You know, when we talk about sex, there's a lot of, you know, it's, again, going back to men getting a bad rap for wanting sex. When women understand that that's just part of their makeup and it's something that needs to be met,
mm-hmm.
you know, and so their needs become our needs and we are connected in that way. And we make sure, it's just like, you know, the things that are important to us. You know, we want them to care about what's important to us. So we want to care about what's important to them. If that's something that biologically that they need, then, you know, we should
We
got to be participants in that, right?
Yep.
But they do. Once, you know, you'll notice that men are very, very much creatures of habit. They like the same things a lot. Now, I'm not generalizing, not all men, but a lot of times they'll do things the same way. They like the same things. They like the same cars, right? And so when they find the woman that they've dedicated their life to, you know, as long as they're happy, they're feeling respected, they're feeling appreciated, you know, they're happy guys.
I agree.
And that's a big thing, you know, is if we could understand that, you know, there's three basic animalistic needs for a male, and I'm going to list them in order, and they are in order, is number one is appreciation. And the thing is that there isn't a male on the planet that didn't come through a female, and he learned appreciation from his mom because moms are the ones that taught us that. And so every male is driven more off of appreciation than they are off of sex. And the reason we exert energy is because of that. We also have a need for respect. Respect in our own area. You know, you see any man walks into a room, he figures out really quickly where he is in the pack and where he sets up. And then there is the need for sex. Testosterone is running through a man on a regular basis. His glands in his brain that tell us to do that's 2.5
times bigger
than a female.
In a woman's brain or in a man's
brain. If those things are present, what happens is it releases what's called the human side of us. And a man will become very present and very consistent. If a man is present and consistent, he meets the number one need for a female, which is safety. Because if he's present and consistent, she knows he's present with her and
so
consistent.
There'll be some feminists that are listening in and saying, what the hell are you talking about? Safety. You know what I'm saying? I mean, so...
Yep. No, he's right.
But it doesn't.
Right.
It doesn't have to.
It doesn't. You're totally right.
It doesn't
I'm
have
totally
to be
right,
totally
or
right.
Or Alonzo, sort of.
No, you are totally.
No,
right.
No, but I want Alonzo to respond to that. So
like, I don't
ahead,
need someone to make me feel
by the way,
safe.
Tony Robbins says that.
Sure, you know, absolutely.
And apparently, that's very politically incorrect to say it, and it gets everybody nuts. So go ahead. How would you respond to the feminazi that's here? That's batting you around.
And I would tell her that I really appreciate that she has a different point of view. And that's part of the beauty that women bring is that they have a different point of view. I'm not here to make one right or one wrong. I'm just saying if you really looked and you checked the core and you watched kids on a playground and you looked at us, we're all born as animals first. When you came out, you weren't this human creature that you grow into. You weren't constructed.
As far as human spirit
you know,
goes.
All of this mm-hmm. stuff wasn't there. You were an animal and there were basic needs. These are basics. They're there for everybody. Even a female that's fighting for equality has got the need to feel safe. The reason she's fighting is to create safety for herself. And so if you understood that the feminine has a need for safety, has a need to know that she's captivating, that means that—
She wants to feel like she's the only one.
She mm-hmm. wants to know exactly. that the man mm-hmm. that's interested in her is going to be there for the long haul because one of the things that happens for a woman— Most women is they have this internal battle. You know, you hear people talk about all of the magazines with airbrushed girls and all that other stuff. Those things wouldn't hold a candle to the woman that the woman compares herself to in her mind.
So babe, we just lost the Equal Opportunity ERA amendment sponsorship.
I know.
We just lost that sponsorship.
It's
and
okay.
Probably, you know,
we just have
but,
to keep it real.
But you know what I love about that? And this is another thing I would say about you guys. And this is what I would also say to people listening. If you needed the Cajon's help, be open-minded. Because I will tell you something. You're talking about things that are real and are open, and we are different. And that's one of Tony's things, okay? Men are different than women. If you're going to try to homogenize us and pretend that we're the same, I'm all for equal rights.
Great.
I'm all for equal pay.
Absolutely.
I'm all for equal expression and equal opportunity. And I want my daughter in a safe space. Trust me, okay? And I want my wife. And Rebecca, I would like you in a safe space. But what I don't want to do is derelict 50 million years of evolutionary history and pretend that it didn't happen a certain
Correct.
Way.
Right.
Yeah, I think that if you finish that, what happens is so women want to be safe, women want to be seen, and women want to be heard. And the problem for men is we think, okay, so she's talking. I hear the words she's saying, so I'm good. Wrong. Dead wrong.
No.
A woman doesn't speak because she wants you to hear the words. A woman speaks because she wants you to hear how she feels. And so when men stop and go, wait a minute, there's a feeling that's behind this, we don't typically look for that. What we look for is the same things that we look for in society is okay, so what's your point?
Right.
And what's the solution here?
Right. And, you guys are a lot more cut and dry. Yeah.
And if you're a guy and you pull that on the woman that's in your life, especially if she's got a strong feminine presence, like these two amazing ladies in front of us, what'll end up mm-hmm. happening is she's going to get very angry that you're attempting to solve something. She's not asking you to solve. She's asking you to understand. If the men on this planet would understand that the reason that there are so many feminists, the reason women are standing up and fighting for equality is because we have lacked in doing our job. We have not said, wait a minute, instead of fighting with women, why would they act this way? They're acting this way because they're giving us signals that we haven't been doing our job. If there's a woman in the proximity of you, or if she's in the workplace or wherever it is, and she isn't being treated fair, there ain't a man on the planet that doesn't know it. And if we would just start stepping up and doing what we were designed to do and saying, hey, that's not right. If you're going to have her do that, you take care of her the same. If you're going to have her in this workspace, you treat her with respect. If men would start doing that, we would be treated differently. Mm-hmm. Because when all of those basic animalistic needs for a female are met, what ends up happening is a woman becomes very nurturing. So, and the part you're really going to like here, Anthony, is they become very expansive.
Which means more sex is what he's getting to.
A man likes it that women make things expand.
And so, these two are like communicating with politicians. You and I are talking about sex. I want your sex.
Like George Michael?
So let me ask you this.
Which is interesting.
So let's go around the table because we're going to have to obviously wrap it up. So I want you to share with our listeners three quick things that you think about as it relates to relationship, growing your relationship, improving your relationship. So for me, communication, empathy, I think is a very big thing for a relationship. And the last thing is understanding.
Sex.
Well, yeah, of course. Remember, sex is on top of the whole thing. But I'm talking about also understanding each other's frailty. It's what you talked about, being a human being first. We're both human beings. And so I'm going to make mm-hmm. mistakes, or I'm going to have a frail moment or something. And just to love each other despite all that. Those are mine. Go ahead.
Well, I mean, you pretty much said everything that I think. But someone said to me the other day, because I said to them that I love Anthony unconditionally. Mm. And they said, that doesn't exist. Mm. And I said, no, I think it does. But
he took me back, so I'm more or less believing that.
Yeah, but so for me, unconditional love is important.
That comes with the presupposition that she ever left. I don't think she did.
Oh, no, okay.
Exactly. I was always there.
Okay, I get that.
Unconditional love.
That's good phraseology, okay, but you got my point too.
Yes,
you know what
absolutely.
I mean? Yes.
For me is important because I think if you're going to be in it, just like when you decided, if you decided to have a child, you don't do that with conditions in mind. So for me, it's unconditional love is really important.
Right. And you're 100% correct. A lot of people feel like it's dependent on the other person's behaviors, but true love is my choice. You know, I can choose to love Alonzo regardless of what he does. He doesn't get to control who I choose to love, right? And mm-hmm. so when you love that way, loving the human being, loving and knowing that we're going to make mistakes and choosing to love because it's my choice, that is unconditional love, mm-hmm. right? And so, because it's me making that, I'm all in. You know, we use that phrase that, it was one of the things that Alonzo said to his client, a different client was, have you ever been all in before? Into anything, where it's just like, I'm going to find a way to make this work or I'm gone. You know, mm-hmm. I'm that's how much dedication we have. So to your point.
All in is good.
All
I like
in.
That.
Yeah. And so I guess the thing that I would say, and there's so many, but one of the things that I think is my favorite is being your partner's biggest fan. I want to be there and encourage him and let him know that I think he's amazing because he is amazing. And, because that if you're their biggest fan, then that automatically presupposes that you're going to be paying attention, which, we've been including in this conversation is that you've got to put time, energy, and focus into your relationship. It's one of the most important things.
It is.
Absolutely. Now put a little bow on this.
Put a bow on it.
Put a bow on it and then tell everybody how they can find you if they would like to find you and talk with you guys, one or both or together or anything. So let us know. Put your little nice wrapping on it.
Do
let
that
us
first,
know.
Though.
Yeah.
How do we find you?
I would say unconditional love is a very spectacular word and thing. And I would say you can't give what you don't have away. Love yourself. when you perfect yourself, when you become the person that deserves the type of relationship that you're looking for, that relationship will be there. Because when you do that, you melt the other person and they become your biggest fan. And unconditional love is definitely, definitely available. And it all comes from the inside.
How do we find you?
Creatingspectacular.com.
Yeah. Creatingspectacular.com.
Creatingspectacular.com. Okay.
Creating,
yeah, that's a great
spectacular.com.
name.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hey guys, we'd love to have you on our podcast, but we love, more important than that, having you in our lives.
Thanks,
and
guys.
I want to personally thank you for helping out the Scaramucci's, because it's great for us, it's great for our children and our family, and it's great for every other component of life.
Yeah, well, you guys are great people.
I echo
very,
that.
Very, very, very grateful to you guys for being part of our family story.
I'd like to say a couple of things. Number one is examples are rare. Had the opportunity to listen to Mr. Fisher, you know, and he talked about something that you don't hear about very often, and you're a great example of this, Anthony and Deidre, is that he said, you know, it's not the government's job, it's my job to step up and say, what can I do? And you two set an example of, look, relationships aren't throwawayable.
Not disposable.
They're hard. And they got opportunities, and you guys are the ones that stepped up and set the example of what it's like to fight for something. And
right,
so really,
I love you. Sorry, go ahead.
Really wanted to point that out, that you guys are being examples, you're being leaders in that, and truly humble.
Well, I was cutting you off because I was going back up the room to have sex with you. That's why I was cutting you off. So, but it's fine. You can keep talking because, you know,
well, we
as you're talking, I'm getting hornier, so it's totally fine.
Oh, God.
Right,
so,
yeah. There's a cold pool that you're going to be jumping into. So.
Exactly.
Thanks for having
thank
us.
You. Thank
God
you guys for coming
you.
On.
Thanks.
And good luck with Creating Spectacular.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen, alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. 5 times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.